All right, today is big enough news that we don't even need an intro. Welcome into episode 137 of the Gone Bridge podcast. Andrew Gardner, Alex Clausen here with you. See Brady, he's probably been asleep for about 2 hours by this point. He's kind of an old man. He'll go to sleep early. But anyways, we wanted to get you out a quick episode today on the Heimblum situation. We're going to have a full episode on Saturday so you can hear Steve's thoughts on the situation. We'll recap the last 2 weeks because we've been busy, haven't been able to get an episode out. But Klaus and I are hitting a quick one tonight in the podcast recording department, and we'll be talking about Chaim Bloom getting fired from the Boston Red Sox. Klaus, welcome to the show. How are we doing on this fine Thursday night?
I'm doing pretty good. I honestly didn't expect to be recording on this fine Thursday night. I didn't expect this to be the subject matter either on this Thursday evening, but, you know, here we are.
So the Red Sox... Earlier today, the Red Sox playing their second doubleheader this week against the New York Yankees. Lots of rain in the New England area. But that's not what we're here to talk about. Today, bombshell news. Chief Baseball Officer Chaim Bloom, who's been with the team for almost 4 years now, was fired. And, all right, here's how I'm going to start this thing off. I did not think that the Chaim Bloom tenure was going to last much longer. I thought that maximum he had to go into this offseason, perform really well. Like we've talked about, the Red Sox are going to have to go out. And, you know, this is a whole another conversation for another day now. But, you know, the season's wrapping up soon. We talked about the Red Sox have to go out there. They got to sign at least one big name ace starting pitcher. You know, the talent pool for free agency in terms of position players this year is pretty weak, but we're all pretty confident in the Red Sox roster right now in the farm system in terms of position players, but pitching is where they need their help. So my thinking was that this is Heim's offseason. This is the make or break offseason. If he can't go out and he can't do that and the Red Sox, you know, are limping through next year again, that's it for the guy. But here's the deal. He's built up the farm system. He's done what they needed him to do. And so the last thing that I was expecting, because let's be completely honest, this felt like another bridge year up to this, you know, big core of prospects coming up. And I'm not even saying this as a Red Sox fan. I'm not saying this as a homer take. Like the Red Sox right now, with the pool of position players they have in the minor leagues, you go down that list of prospects and you're starting to see, you know, Sedan and, you know, Wiley Abreu has been pretty solid so far too. You're just seeing the front edge of that prospect pool come up. It's right under the Baltimore Orioles in terms of talent level and the number of guys you have coming up. I mean, the Orioles are still like a smidge ahead, but the Red Sox are going to have a lot of guys coming up in these next few years who are going to be dogs, like absolute dogs. So here's my thing. Chaim Bloom did his job in terms of building up the farm system. I was shocked to see that they fired him today. I really did think that coming into next season, this offseason was going to be the make or break time. And I was just shocked by the news today. Clausen, I got more to go into it, but I want to hear your take on the news.
I can tell you've been chomping at the bit at this all day. You've been sitting in the park, running that ride, thinking about what to say.
And you hold on. Speaking of real quick, shout out to Michael. So for those who don't know, I work at Walt Disney World right now. If you're coming by the park, I work in Hollywood Studios. I work at the Millennium Falcon Ride, Smuggler's Run. Come through, say hi. Totally out of the blue yesterday, Michael, who listens to the show, totally caught me off guard and was like, hey, I really like Gone Bridge. And that made my day. So that was super cool. But anyways, go Sox.
We love the fans. But yeah, no, I really didn't see the news coming today. The thing that I've realized is, you know, you see the news come across your desk and you're just shocked. The two reasons that I could think of why you let a guy go before the season ends is, number one, if you're in playoff contention or you're about to be in playoff contention, you see it with managers most of the time. Teams will fire a manager. They'll try and maybe shuffle things up for a second half run. Obviously, we're looking at, you know, less than 20 games left at this point. So there isn't really a playoff hope for this team. And shuffling up your head of baseball operations with this much time left, trade deadline's done, September call-ups are done, his job for the year for the most part is pretty much done, so you can kind of cross that out. Or B, the guy is doing such a bad job that he has to be let go. And I think that if we're between those two options, if this is a two-way decision, they're either trying to make a playoff push or they're so bad, they've been so bad that you lean toward that. But with this much left in the season, it really seemed like more of than anything, just a middle finger, not to let this guy go in November when the World Series is done, as opposed to doing it now.
I mean,
So that was why I was mostly shocked, because I figured they would at least do him the common decency to let him ride out the season under the wire, finish it out, and then let him go once there's kind of a Black Friday where managers let go, GMs are let go. And I figured he would kind of get put into he'd get pulled into that, but the fact that they just outright fired him on a Thursday is shocking to me.
Here's my thing with that is that the Red Sox, this is not out of the blue for leadership change in the front
No,
office.
no.
This is the third straight guy who you talk about a 3 week period from the last week of August to, now we're now into mid-September, but Ben Sherrington in 2015, he, I believe, resigned. He was kind of, I feel like, forced to step down because Dombrowski was hired right away. So it was kind of like, listen, man, you can either go do another job or Dombrowski is just going to come in. That happened late August. Dombrowski in 2019, he was fired the same week as Chaim Bloom. Chaim Bloom, same thing, fired mid-September. To me, I think that, the guy who's really calling the shots here, I don't know if it's exactly the ownership or Sam Kennedy, but it's the same group who's done it 3 times in a row now. I just wonder, you look at them, they're like, all right, we're going to go out and here's the thing, Clausen. I don't know if you have names. I got no names. This is not like, free agent signings or managers where you kind of have an idea. Like, there could be a guy somewhere in some front office, who's, sneaky talent. Like, we don't
But
know the inside.
here's the thing is like so Chaim Bloom was that sneaky young talent. Why you go replace Chaim Bloom with another Chaim Bloom? The
Well,
only logical steps that you can make for this is either you have someone internally who ownership knows will do what they want them to do, so they're gonna promote them that way, or you're gonna go out and you're gonna get another Dave Dombrowski who's been doing this for a long time and is gonna provide you results. I don't know names right now. The Mets just signed, I forget his name, but he was with the Brewers when they kind of started to come up and make the playoffs in the last couple of years. So he's off the market. Theo Epstein has been thrown around.
That's off the table.
I'd fall to my knees if Theo Epstein returns as head of baseball
We
operations.
had to confirm that it was off the table.
That's what ownership said. That's what ownership has come out and said. It's like breaking up with your girlfriend and being like, no, I'm not going to go back to my ex. And then being like, all right,
Yeah.
2 weeks later, you go back to her.
Yeah. Well,
We don't know. We don't know. But the point that you made earlier, kind of par for the course. Yes, Dombrowski was also let go in, I think, July of 2019.
no, I think it was, I think the same week. It was like the first week of September.
Either way, before the season ends.
Yep.
So this is kind of a trend for the Sox, and something that I heard earlier on the radio. This is kind of the right time frame for these guys. Like the Sox, ever since, I guess, Theo Epstein, think of, Ben Cherington was here for, 3 years and change, let go before the season ends, did his, he had delivered a World Series, left, was fired, whatever. They bring in Dave Dombrowski, 3 years change, comes in, does the job he's supposed to, is let go. Chaim Bloom, 3 years change, comes in, does the job that he's supposed to, and is let go. So we're now in this, call it 10, 11-year span once you do the math. The same over and over and over and over again with GMs. And it seems like, I don't know if it's just lack of consistency or if this is how the Red Sox want to run the organization, but once is once, Two times is suspicious, three times is a trend.
Yep. I don't disagree. Yeah. Here's my last thing on that. And you talk about not only like the length of their term, like terms here, you talk about the times that they left. It's totally a trend. I think that the Red Sox just want to jump on. You know that there are other teams. I mean, the White Sox, I know, fired their GM a couple of weeks ago. That position was already replaced. But you talk about maybe they just want to get ahead of the curve here. You know, you get a couple of weeks to interview guys before the season ends. You know, the being.
The White Sox are a dumpster
Well,
fire, though.
yeah, but this is what I was just going to say is that like being the guy in Boston who runs the ship, that is a insanely flashy job in the front office, like in terms of front office personnel in the MLB. It's got to be a top five job, you know, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Cubs, and you know, maybe the Mets or the Cardinals. Like having that opportunity is something anybody is going to want to take a bite at.
Absolutely.
Now, kind of getting into did Heim deserve Or did yeah, did Heim Bloom deserve to be fired? And how are we going to kind of remember his time here in Boston? I'm just going to come out and say it that he was absolutely screwed over. He was destined to fail by the ownership the minute he stepped in to this position. And here's why. The ownership today in the press conference, Sam Kennedy saying winning is a, let me see if I can find this exact quote. Here we go. We're aiming for World Series championships. That's why we're here. Our fans deserve World Series championships, as many as we can possibly win while we're here. We are not going to waste this opportunity. Here's the thing, Sam. I know you're not an owner. You're the president of the Boston Red Sox, but the ownership group as a whole tasked Heim basically to not go over the luxury tax, totally rebuild the farm system, who when he came in was 30th, dead last in the Major League Baseball, while doing both of those. Producing a winning product on the field. You know how damn impossible that is? It's nearly impossible. And Heim Bloom, I mean, inherited an atrocious situation in 2020. He came in and was essentially forced to trade one of the best players in Red Sox history away because the Red Sox front office didn't want to pay his salary. And we've talked about that at length the whole time we've had this show. He walks into that 2020. What an absolute dumpster fire of a roster that was. I mean, thank goodness that season was only 60 games. Like, he had no opportunity to build that team up. I mean, Alex Cora was suspended that year. You know, just again, not allowed to spend, had a really bad farm system. And now this farm system is, you know, widely regarded top 10 in the MLB. He was able to get the team under the luxury tax 3 out of 4 years, which is what the owners wanted. And he did get the team to the ALCS once and is leaving. I know you kind of catch fire in a bottle there or lightning
I
in a
mean,
bottle.
they stumbled backwards into that ALCS, if we're
Yes.
being honest.
No, I don't disagree. And they were one game away from not even making the playoffs that year. But here's the thing is that Heim Bloom still leaves the Red Sox with a winning record during his tenure. And that's just a fact. I'm not, you know, coming out here and blowing smoke. Am I saying that Heim Bloom was the perfect GM and did everything right? No, he made his fair share of mistakes. But here's the thing. The owners did not set him up for an opportunity to succeed fully. They just didn't. And for Sam Kennedy to come out and say that, you know, the winning is our top priority and this and that, and I understand wanting to build up a farm system, but if you're not going to allow the guy to go out there and spend money when you're the Boston Red Sox, you're not going to win. Because here's my last point, and then I'll let you hop in here. The Red Sox, the 4 years that they won the World Series, here was where they sat in total payroll. Second, third, and first. The Red Sox have been under the luxury tax 3 out of the last 4 years. This year, they're 11th in payroll. And really, the only large contract, I guess two contracts, but only contract they've signed a guy to over $100 million in Heim Bloom's tenure was Trevor Story. And so my thing is, was Heim Bloom the perfect guy? No. Did I think he was going to last much longer here in Boston? No. Did he build the farm system up? Yes, absolutely. Overall, was he given a chance to succeed? Hell no, he was not.
So here's what'll happen. Yes, Heim Bloom is put in a pretty impossible situation. Dave Dombrowski on his goodbye yellow brick road trail signs every aging player on that 2018 roster to a contract that was way too large, not to mention that he was the one who signed Price, right? That was one of his first moves.
Who, Dombrowski?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so real quick, here are contracts that Heim Bloom inherited. David Price, a $217 million
So here's
starter.
the, so here's what I was going to say about Price, because I was arguing with my buddies earlier. The David Price contract, I mean, that was like in hindsight, I mean, David Price was David Price. He made up for it in 2018. But I remember reading an article. They signed him for, it was what, 7 for 217?
Yes.
The Cardinals bid. So it was between the Cardinals and the Red Sox. And David Price's agent, the genius that he was, decided to go to both teams behind closed doors and say, "Give me your final offer and we will mull it over." The Red Sox offer 7 for 217, and the Cardinals offer somewhere around, I think it was like 6 years, 180. So, I mean, we're talking a $30 million difference that the Red Sox overpaid on David Price for.
I wouldn't
And it ended
even.
up kind of biting them. I think it actually was
It was seven. So yeah, like the
seven.
AAV was around the same. The lot, like the one thing I'll say on Price is that 2015 team, like again, kind of sitting in a similar situation to who we are now. I think this pitching rotation is maybe a smidge better, but like we had no ace. Like Clay, we rolled out Clay Buchholz on opening
You
day.
needed David Price.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I mean, hindsight, obviously, that was way overpaying and not a great contract. And I will give Heim this. His job was to come in and immediately trade one of the best players that the Red Sox have ever had and take a roster with a complete dumpster fire of a salary cap situation and get them under the luxury tax, which he did. And I think those were his two, and well, third priority, obviously, rebuild the farm system. He got rid of Mookie Betts. Whether that trade was good or not is not a discussion for today. Yes, he rebuilt the farm system to where it is. It's great now. It's in the best spot it's probably been in our lifetime.
Maybe I would say 2016 it was pretty strong too, but like it's
But
up
you know
there.
what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
One of the strongest farm systems we've seen, one of the deepest farm systems we've seen in our lifetime. And then you add on top of that, they're now able to go out and spend money. And he did that. And I give him credit for that. And I don't think anyone could take that away from it. But again, hindsight being 2020, we noticed this when we signed him. He's a small market, money ball kind of man, kind of GM coming into one of the largest markets in baseball. You just said it a minute ago. World Series teams have the second and third largest, have the second and third biggest salary hits in the years they win the World Series. Chaim Bloom is not the guy that's going to go out, whether it's ownership telling him he doesn't have that money or not. Chaim Bloom is not that kind of guy to go out and dump a ton of money.
See, this is where
And
I disagree, is I just don't think he was ever given the opportunity to do
But
that.
all
So
right,
how can you say that?
so let's ride off of that. Let's even say that, because I agree to some extent. He was given money. He was given $330 million to sign Rafael Devers, Mookie Betts, and Xander Bogaerts. And you can't do that. So he gave it all to Rafi. And I think that was, I mean, out of the three, I probably would rather have Mookie. But when you're between Xander and Devers, giving that $330 million to Devers was the right idea. So I
Yeah, I
can't
mean,
knock him for that. But what I will say is, with the rest, thinking back on the moves that he made and the signings and the trades, the winning moves were so low. Outside of 2021, where they pick up Schwarber, they pick up Renfroe, they pick up guys like that, they don't re-sign them. Those would have been great guys to have on this roster today. And he neglected to sign them again. And then you look at how many players were so alienated. And I'll give credit to Jared and the Baseball is Dead guys for talking about this earlier. It came to a point where agents, players, and GMs would pick their phone up and they would see it's Chaim Bloom and they'd put their phone back down because they didn't want to talk to him because it was Chaim Bloom. It wasn't because it was the Red Sox, it was because it was Chaim Bloom.
yeah, no,
So
I
at that
do.
point, even if you have money, if people aren't picking up the phone, then it doesn't matter.
Listen, I agree. I mean, I don't think that Chaim Bloom was like the perfect GM, and I do think
No.
he had his flaws. One of his biggest flaws, he was a little just too passive doing things. And I think that One of his like big risks was the Jackie Bradley Jr. and Hunter Renfrow trade, which didn't work out. You know, but for the most part, you look back at most of the moves, most of the trades. I'm not saying they were big time, but they didn't come back to bite you in the ass. I mean, they were smaller.
But I'm also looking at like where this team could have been. Yeah, the Jackie Bradley Jr. trade is just all time horrible. And you're looking at guys like, you know, Mondesi coming in. It's just like nothing moves like that.
I mean,
And
like
then
Josh Taylor's. I'd rather have a guy who didn't play than have Josh Taylor this season.
Josh Taylor didn't play either. So
No,
it's
he did.
trading
He's
nothing.
having an awful season. He's got like a 12 ERA.
I mean, I told you guys he wasn't good 2 years ago, and you guys were all about him because he
He
threw
had like two
37
good
innings
months.
scoreless. Yeah, he had a good month, and you guys were all about him. But anyway, I mean, it's, you know, I look back and the glaring, you know, the glaring black eye on this is, you know, obviously losing the core of 2018, whether it was through alienation or it was just, you know, ownership not giving him the money or some bit of both. We don't know. But I'm also looking at the glaring look right now of they chose Trevor Story over Xander Bogaerts. Not that
Dude.
Xander Bogaerts is lighting it up right now, but we knew, and I'll give it credit to Steve. He'll listen back to this tomorrow, and he's smiling in his sleep right now. The Sox knew that Trevor Story was not healthy, and they still signed him for 6 years, $140 million. I mean, that's a loser move.
I'm not saying I don't
I
disagree with
like
you.
maybe I'm just looking in hindsight because he's gone, and when, you know, you fire a GM, you don't look back at all the positives. But I'm thinking back, Eovaldi's gone, JD, even though he's getting old, he's gone. Xander's gone, Renfroe gone, Schwarber gone, Story picked up, terrible. Chris Sale. Did you listen to Baseball is Dead earlier?
Nah, I've been at work all day.
So basically what Jared and you know, feel free to go back and listen to more of what he had to say, but basically this trade deadline, they had a deal in place for Alex Verdugo to go to the Astros, and Chaim Bloom got too anal over prospects and it fell through.
I saw
And
that
then
Verdugo was headed to the Yankees.
Carrabba said Astros. I don't
Interesting.
know. Interesting. There were probably other suitors, but and then the other thing he said, this one made me want to like pound my head against a brick wall.
I know what
Red
you're gonna say.
Sox, huh?
I think I know what you're gonna say here.
Red Sox have a swap dump, whatever you call it, get rid of an injured, regressing, and expensive Chris Sale to I don't know what team, and Chaim Bloom gets too caught up over a prospect.
I mean, here's
At
the thing.
some,
Until I see players, I'm not like.
but here's the thing is like, would you rather take a flyer on a prospect? Maybe you don't get an ideal return, but it's not like you're losing a real impact player at this point.
I mean, here.
It's hard to defend to say that there was an offer on the table to dump Chris Sale off. And you didn't take it because there was one prospect
Yeah,
that you got hung up on.
I mean, again,
I mean,
like.
it's not gonna be a Chris Sale for some kid in AAA. It's gonna be Chris Sale for a kid in AAA, you know, I don't know, maybe some major league reliever. Like it's not gonna be a grand return.
I don't know.
But
I like.
it's shedding money. Would you rather have the how much is Chris Sale getting paid?
I don't know, like 22 million, maybe something
20,
like
would
that.
you rather have $22 million off the books to go spend on someone else and a prospect that doesn't work out or Chris Sale?
I mean, at this point, like the prospect. I don't know.
Hey, I'm more thinking the money.
Yeah, I
Screw the
mean, well, here's the thing though.
prospect.
Is that money even going to be
Screw.
go out? Like, would Haim even be allowed to go out and spend that?
But here's the thing is here's the thing. If you have $22 million to work with now, I mean, it's an even trade. You're now plus 22 million, and then you go sign someone else for 22 million. What's the difference? Still hits the cap the same way, but you're getting more out of the 22 million with someone else.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, my thing is just that, like, I'm just surprised. I don't disagree. Like, he was passive. Like, we never saw Heim trade any of these big prospects. Like,
That's
chill.
that's
I
my
just
next
said
point. I'll let
earlier
you
he was
finish your thought,
passive. I
but
said
that's my
that.
next point. That is
No.
why Heim Bloom got fired.
I don't like, again,
Heim
if
Bloom.
the owners are saying they really want to win, like, this is the hardest thing for me is just like they say now after they fire him, they want to win. When he's here, we don't want to spend money.
Yep.
What, but like, would I have liked to seen the Red Sox go out in the offseason and trade one or two of these guys for a big time, like a bigger time player? Absolutely, I would have. And I do. That's what I said. I said that was Heim Bloom's, biggest. I don't even know what word I'm looking for here.
He's too
That was his biggest
prideful
flaw.
about
He
the
was too
farm.
passive.
He's too prideful about the farm he's built up. His way to build a baseball team is to draft and develop, which there's nothing wrong with that. But when you look at who the Boston Red Sox are and in what fashion they've won a World Series, yeah, you have to have those core pieces hanging around. But for the most part, you're going to need to trade some of your top prospects. And I don't think that there was any way that Heim Bloom was going to go through this offseason and trade a Nick York or trade a Blaze Jordan or even trade a Roman Anthony.
Yeah, I mean,
There was just no way.
I
And
don't disagree with you there. Like, I would have loved to see them have made a move for somebody like that because we've talked about the infield is so jammed up right now.
right.
And you think back to 2018, who are the two guys who was the one guy they traded in the offseason leading into 2017? It was the number one ranked prospect in the entire major league base and in the entire major league, Yoán Moncada. They send
And
him
kind
off
of
to
stinks
Chicago.
too.
He's not great anymore, but you send him with Kopech and I forget who the other two
And
guys were.
he turned out to be insane too.
Well, he's been okay. But like, here's the thing.
Kopech, I
What?
thought he was like
Nah,
in like
he's
a
been fine. I mean,
insane asylum.
he's been, well, yeah, he's had some off the field issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. But like, here's the thing. You got Benintendi. I was pumped at the time they were able to keep him. But 2013 was a whole different beast. But you even go back to like 2007, you bring in, I can't remember if Beckett came in 06 or 07, but like you trade Hanley Ramirez for Josh Beckett. Like, again, what I'm seeing right now from Sedan is, Wyler is he'll be like a good role player, I think. I'm not expecting him to be like the big time guy,
Yeah.
but I've liked what I've seen. Sedan looks great so far, but like each and every guy. And this is just how it works, is not going to work out and be a stud. And so I
No.
do agree with you that they have to take a flyer on some of these guys and just send them off. I mean, look at what we got back with Jeter Downs. He was awful,
Right.
absolutely awful. But I mean, like, Casas has been good. Bayo's been good. Like, a lot of these guys, for the most part, have been good, but it's not going to be all of them. And
No.
sometimes when you can get a bigger name pitcher or player, especially a pitcher, which the Red Sox need desperately, you got to go for it. And I do agree. That was Heim's biggest flaw, is that I think he just had like a personal attachment to a lot of these guys. I drafted them, I developed them. I don't want to let them go. And to some extent, I don't fault him for that. But again, that was why I just thought he was going to get one more year, because that was the time we're going to see Marcel Meyer next year. We're probably going to see Nick York next year. Like, then we can finally start to see maybe how they are a little bit. And so that was why the timing was a bit surprising to me. But again, I also think there might have been some stuff going on behind closed doors, because the Red Sox have sure, or for sure, have had this decision made for, days and probably weeks, if we're being completely honest. This was not a thing that Sam Kennedy and John Henry and the other owners, Tom Warner, woke up and were just like, hey,
LeBron.
let's fire, huh? Let's fire. Yeah, LeBron was in there too. Yeah, it's like, let's
Sitting
fire
around that
Heim.
board meeting, LeBron
Yeah.
standing.
Yeah.
We gotta make that. I guess we can
We
make
should
that
make
meme
that
because
meme
he,
with LeBron. He's
yeah.
like, I knew Heim Bloom was getting fired today. Live quote from the Red Sox. What is he on? Like 0.5%, 1% of the team? LeBron James, everybody.
I don't know.
Honestly,
He's got more stake in soccer than he does. Huh?
should we just blame this whole thing on LeBron?
Yeah, man, he's killed Boston. I don't know how many times in the playoffs. Might as well
Hilarious.
stick one more dagger.
Yeah, but like
But
here, yeah, they didn't wake up and were like, we're gonna fire him today. Like this decision's been made for a little bit.
I think to kind of round this point out is I think that the Red Sox are now in this position where they're under the luxury tax, they have money to burn, and they now have a farm system built up to the point where they have guys that they can bring up and will be stars, and also have so much of a surplus to where they can trade those guys and get front of the line starters, all-star hitters, true impact players, which I don't think that we've been able to say for a long time. And I hope whoever comes in doesn't pull a Dave Dombrowski and absolutely shell out.
Nuke.
But, I don't think it's out of the question to say, Corbin Burns, is he a free agent?
I think he's got one more year. I know that name has been floated around.
But, let's use Corbin Burns for an example, high-end starter. Is it out of the question to say the Sox package Nick York and Rafaela? I think Rafaela is going to kind of be a big piece just because he's come up and produced at the major league level. I don't think it's out of the question. And I don't know where he fits in. Kind of depends where Verdugo goes. But I don't think it's out of the question to say, Rafaela's one of the top dogs on the trading block, and he'll get traded away for some, household name who's going to start to lead the pitching staff.
Yeah, here's kind of my last thing on the whole situation, and then we'll obviously talk more about this Saturday with Steve, and we'll kind of go over the whole scope of the situation now. Like the Red Sox are done. Got 2.5, two or 2 weeks left. Split against the Yankees today. Like, it is what it is, but we're gonna have plenty of time. This is gonna be a very, very interesting offseason. And I think my last thing about Chaim Bloom is just kind of like my final thoughts on his tenure before Saturday, and then we'll, obviously talk a little bit more then. I just feel like he was just kind of brought in to do the dirty work. The Red Sox were never trying to win in 2020. 2021, they got a little bit lucky. Again, he was just never destined to fully thrive in Boston. I think that's how I'm going to look back at his tenure is, had he been given the chance to spend a little bit more money or, approach things a little differently, I would have liked to see it. But here's the thing. This is the last thing I'm going to say. I don't fully think that he was also like the right man for the job to be in Boston. Like, I do think he's a smart guy. I think he's, a great guy to have in the front office. Like, I talked to Chaim Bloom once walking out of Fenway Park for a good 5 minutes, and even sent him an email too, and he responded to me within an hour, and he was a great guy, super nice guy. Like on a personal level, as a guy, like as someone who enjoys baseball, like he meant well. He was a nice guy. He was, you see the pictures of him picking up trash in between double headers, and I know so many people who have had the chance to, like, I know Harry, who we've had in the show a couple times, like. I was at a game with him, and he was like, I ran into Chaim in the concourse. He talked to me for a minute. Like, he really liked his job. He liked being in Boston. Like, he really cared about the fans. But again, like, you think about some of these other guys, like, they were just kind of like cutthroat. Dombrowski, cutthroat, get stuff done. Theo, same thing. Like Ben Cherington, he won the World Series, but like Theo and Dombrowski just like cutthroat. They got the job done. And that's just kind of like a personal characteristic. Like, I don't think Chaim can completely had that, especially with what you said about the
No.
phone calls. But at the end of the day, he's gonna land on his feet somewhere. Someone's gonna be lucky to have him. But I think it's just, it's time for a change, I guess. And like, did I expect it to happen now? No. But if we're gonna do it, let's do it, and let's go full steam ahead for 2024, which I'm really excited for next year. I think the team, for the first time, like, in the show's history, like, we're gonna be sitting down next spring and we're gonna be like, we got a damn good team that can compete for a World Series next year. Like, I truly think that is a discussion that we could be having.
Yeah, I mean, I hope, and I mean, to your point, we don't know what a team would look like if you give Heim, an open checkbook and anything like that. Do I trust, would I have trusted him at that point to have gone out and, signed better free agents? I don't know. Trevor Story is really his only big free agent that we can grade him on. And right now that's looking like a D minus. So we don't know. You got to look towards the future. Heim, again, as you said, nothing bad about him as a person. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up somewhere like the Angels, who are in kind of a similar situation where they need someone to go in
That would actually be a great landing spot for him now that you
and have
say
a
that.
fresh perspective, because I mean the odds they lose Ohtani are pretty decent,
I even
and I
saw
saw that
Trout's name getting thrown around in trade talk,
yeah
like.
for the right deal. And then I mean Rendon is just an absolute dumpster fire.
Yo no hablo inglés.
Yeah, no, that was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. But I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in a similar situation to how he came into Boston. Team like the Angels stands out obviously the most. I'd be excited to see what he could do over there because they don't really have the same sense of urgency as the Red Sox. They don't need to go out. I mean, clearly they've tried shelling out money and that hasn't worked at all. So
Hasn't worked.
that's gonna be my hope for him, is that he goes out west and leads the Angels back to the playoffs in 8 years. But I mean, yeah, the Heim Bloom era, I think, is gonna probably be looked back on very poorly
I think it
by
was just a
the.
weird time.
It was strange because it, I, and I think that's why it's gonna be looked back on so poorly, because in 10 years you're gonna remember who was the guy who traded Mookie Betts, and it's gonna be Heim Bloom, and no one's gonna remember that they made the ALDS. Sorry, the
Yep.
ALCS in 2021.
I mean, they were winning game four to go up 3-1 in that series.
They were a wagon of a team in 2021, but I don't think anyone's gonna remember that, and I don't think anyone's gonna remember Heim being that guy who put the team together. I think it's just gonna be he traded Mookie Betts away, and he lowballed Xander Bogaerts, and I mean, give him credit. He signed Raffy. I think they would have had his head if Raffy left. But it's a shame how he's kind of going out. But at the end of the day, I think if the Red Sox are gonna win a World Series, Heim Bloom flat out was not their guy to bring them there.
I don't disagree. You got any
Yeah.
other closing thoughts?
No, don't come in last. I actually think the Yankees and the Red Sox are gonna be 2024, I think, is gonna be similar to Yankees Red Sox of old. I'm expecting one or both of Boone and Cashman to go.
I think, well, Cashman just signed his extension somehow. Like
Did he
he's
really?
safe. Yeah. Dude, I can't believe Brian Cashman is still with the Yankees. Like outlasted outlasted Heim. Like Boone is a whole nother story. Also, the last thing I want to quickly say on this whole situation is I'm curious to see where, and I think this is a better discussion for Saturday because today was really just about Heim. I'm curious to see where this leaves Alex Cora. And I know someone asked him, he was asked about it today and he kind of gave a vague answer about next year. So we will see. I still like Cora. Obviously what happened in 2018 was, such an unbelievable year and we saw his full potential there, but we'll see. We'll see. Like
Yeah,
I
I
think
think
things are going to be shifting around. Like, Claussen, I know you're a huge Dave Bush fan, so maybe he'll be back and
I hope not. I hope not. Fire everyone but Tech, Brian Butterfield, Chili Davis, and Alex Cora.
I like it. Like, just let's Cora as the GM and Terry Francona as the manager.
I'd cry. I would cry.
That'd be
No,
awesome.
but I think to your point, I think letting go of both your GM and your manager, especially when your manager has proven to be so competent, and so beloved by players and fans, and I think that would be silly of them to immediately give up on Cora, even though he's had some rough years, he's made some questionable decisions, but I think that's too big of a shakeup when you're trying to make a World Series push in 2024, 2025.
I agree. And it's not like they're sitting, you know, it's not like they're 60 and 85. Like, still a game or two over 500. I forget what they are exactly at this point. But the Chaim Bloom era ends with the Boston Red Sox, and he finishes his Red Sox career with a record of 268 and 261. And you can close the chapter on the Boston Red Sox Chaim Bloom era. Where will it go next? Nobody knows. We'll keep you updated over the next couple of weeks. Steve, I hope you're still sleeping well. We will be back on Saturday morning recording another episode. Again, we're going to hear Steve's thoughts on everything. We're going to talk more about the team, day-to-day stuff. But yeah, big bombshell news today. I almost said Alex Cora. Chaim Bloom is gone. He's out. Anyways, if you enjoyed what you listened to, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Gombridge Podcast and Twitter at Gombridge. Don't forget to subscribe to our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And we will be back in a couple days with episode 138. See ya.